Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, what's that that watery stuff that's falling from the sky?
That would be rain.
Really? I don't recognize it. We haven't had any for a while. We got a little bit out where I live yesterday, just some sprinkles, but not very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, on a Tuesday edition of the show. We are loaded up here. We do not have Sue Thomas. She will be back, I believe, tomorrow, but Fred is hanging out. Ethan Hannaford doing some of the producing as well. There is a lot going on, like this Ryan Ruth guy was just found guilty of trying to kill President Trump. That seemed to be in big question. Wow, we were all on the edge of our seat.
It took three hours.
Well, I texted Fred this morning and I said, every other trial that we deal with that's high profile literally takes months. You're like, okay, jury selection is going to take 3 weeks, and then the opening statements, and then, you know, you have the witness testimony. This thing was like, boom, it's over. Now, he did represent himself, which is never recommended. But I saw his, like, his daughter was out there this morning saying, oh, he's just being wronged. So, look, he's a nut job. And you know what he tried to do? Did you see what he tried to do?
Yeah, right after the verdict.
The verdict comes in. He tries to stab himself in the neck with a pen, and they're restraining him. The president reacting to some of this a few minutes ago.
Justice was served, and we'll see what happens. But I very much appreciate the judge and jury and everybody on that. It was so professionally handled, and it's a great honor.
So before I get to some of the other things that we're going to talk about here today, I have to get into the United Nations speech this morning. Look, it didn't start off at the beginning so well because, well, two things happened, right, Fred?
Right.
The teleprompter didn't work, and then the escalator didn't work either. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but that sounds a little weird. So he mentions these things, you know, like he's reading. I don't know if people have appreciation for what happens. Like when you see those two glass things that are, you know, to the left and to the right of a stage, those are teleprompters, right? So you could look straight ahead at the audience, but as soon as you look to your left or your right, you're going to see those words. And that was one of the things from Butler last year. Remember the ridiculous notion that came out in the aftermath of the assassination attempt that said that Trump was not hit by a bullet, he was hit by glass? And you could literally look at the stationary shot that CNN was airing and all the networks were airing of the stage, and the two platforms and the glass for the teleprompters were fine. You know, there was no damage whatsoever, but people were still spreading that nonsense out there. So anyway, here's where it goes bad a little bit.
And I don't mind making this speech without a teleprompter, because the teleprompter is not working. I feel very happy to be up here with you nevertheless. And that way you speak more from the heart. I can only say that whoever's operating this teleprompter is in big trouble.
I was trying to kill a little bit of time there. If there's anyone that can go on for an hour, he went an hour plus at this.
I think it went about 8 minutes without it.
Yeah,
because it was in 8 minutes in when he said it's back.
Oh, I didn't realize. So, but he could have probably gone the whole hour. You know, here the escalator didn't work either.
All I got from the United Nations was an escalator that on the way up stopped right in the middle. If the first lady wasn't in great shape, she would have fallen. But she's in great shape. We're both in good shape. We both stood. And then a teleprompter that didn't work. These are the two things I got from the United Nations, a bad escalator and a bad teleprompter. Thank you very much. And by the way, it's working now. It just went on.
Yeah, there you go. So it's working now. He did not, what would we say, he did not mince words at the UN today when it comes to some of the participation from the other countries around the globe.
It's time to end the failed experiment of open borders. You have to end it now. See, I can tell you, I'm really good at this stuff. Your countries are going to hell.
Okay.
In America, we've taken bold action to swiftly shut down uncontrolled migration. Once we started detaining and deporting everyone who crossed the border and removing illegal aliens from the United States, they simply stopped coming. They're not coming anymore. We're getting a lot of credit, but they're not coming anymore.
So you can kind of tell, like, when he's reading, we've always talked about this, Fred, teleprompter,
right.
Trump, non-teleprompter. I kind of like non-teleprompter, but he weaves, right? So he's adding some words. There's no way that everything that's on the screen, he's adding, he's subtracting, he's kind of letting that be his guide. Now, on the climate stuff, this was part of my favorite moment, I think, this morning.
It's the greatest con job ever perpetrated on the world, in my opinion. Climate change, no matter what happens, you're involved in that. No more global warming, no more global cooling. All of these predictions made by the United Nations and many others, often for bad reasons, were wrong. They were made by stupid people that have cost their country's fortunes and given those same countries no chance for success. If you don't get away from this green scam, your country is going to fail.
Yep.
And I'm really good at predicting things, you know? They actually said during the campaign they had a hat, the best-selling hat. Trump was right about everything. And I don't say that in a braggadocious way, but it's true. I've been right about everything. And I'm telling you that if you don't get away from the green energy scam, your country is going to fail.
Yeah, that's true, Fred. It's true. He's right about everything. So there he was in front of the UN. He's reacting to the Ryan Ruth situation. Jimmy Kimmel's coming back tonight. We're going to talk about that a little bit here this afternoon.
We won't see it on
St. Yeah, Louis. So that's a good point. So Nexstar and Sinclair stations, the ones that complained. And again, the story that occurred a week ago today, it was Wednesday, though, actually, I think when they pulled him. It was the Wednesday night show. But he did the monologue on Monday night. He did the other monologue on Tuesday where he kind of, you know, made a joke about President Trump. And then the affiliates and the big companies started complaining. And then ABC puts out the statement on Wednesday night. So it did seem, Fred, and even President Trump and others were referring to it as a firing, right? We didn't know. I didn't think he'd be back. I really didn't. Now, I guess he's coming back tonight. I don't think the ratings are going to be quite as high as I had predicted yesterday, because if you have 60% of the country that can't see the show, you can stream it. They're trying to get, you know, word out there. Now, look, I have been on the side of this. I guess I'd call it the Ted Cruz side of the equation when it comes to the FCC and Brendan Carr. But I do want to paint a different picture of this afternoon. And it's one of our guests who's going to come up here in a couple of hours that kind of made me look at this situation in a little bit of a different way. And that's Bill O'Reilly. And he's going to join us at 5:30. He was on with Piers Morgan last night. He made some really interesting points that I thought should be shared here this afternoon. But here's Brendan Carr, who's taken a lot of the blame here. Again, my impression is still the FCC commissioner should not be making threats on a podcast about taking someone down for political opinions. But again, is it nuanced? Here's Brendan Carr.
Okay, yeah, I think this comes back to where we started, which was a lot of the distortion that's out there. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel is in the situation that he's in because of his ratings, not because of anything that's happened at the federal government level.
So That's a little questionable, too, because the ratings aren't very good. But I think it's less the ratings than it is the companies that own the stations that don't want to air it because of community standards. So let me play this from O'Reilly. So he's on last night, and, you know, here's a guy, and I think Bill's going to make this point in a couple hours. He's got the number one book right now on the New York Times bestseller list. Number one. And he hasn't done any talk show. Like, he's not doing the Today Show. He's not doing CBS This Morning. He's certainly not being invited to Jimmy Kimmel's show. You know, think about that in those terms. So Bill kind of put this in a different perspective last night.
The three networks use what they call a public airways. Therefore, there are government regulations on them that they must operate within the public interest. That is the headline. So ABC, NBC, CBS have to operate within the public interest. That's subjective.
Now, see, that's what we do. We have an FCC license here at this radio station. So it's different than cable. You know, you can say, this is where I kind of wish I was on the internet because I could say the F word all the time. That probably wouldn't make Fred happy, but I'm fond of that word, right? But, you know, we can't do that.
Carr has the right to go in and investigate anything that he believes is not in the public interest. And I'll submit this to you. There's almost a total blackout in the United States for non-liberal voices on the network news. Mm. Did you know that, Pierce?
Yeah, no, it's obvious. Yeah,
it's been in place ever since Donald Trump got into the political arena. Mm. I'm the best-selling nonfiction author in the world. As you know, anybody putting me on TV gets higher ratings. Mm. People want it. What that crazy O'Reilly is going to say today? I can't get booked on the Today Show. Or Good Morning America, or any of the late night shows. Why? Because I'm not a liberal. Mm. Jimmy Kimmel didn't book one liberal in 3 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, you know, here's a good example, Fred. The hottest conservative pundit in the country is our friend Scott Jennings. That is without a question, right?
Right.
Now, he's got a book coming out in December. We'll see if he gets attention. But at this point in the cycle, having risen to meteor, you know, just unbelievable proportions in his Twitter followers, his exposure, you know, there was a point where I would mention Scott because he was a friend. He was on our show. And, you know, we'd reference him when he wasn't on the air sometimes because he'd say some things. We'd play the audio. But then it got to a point late last year where I could barely get through any of my conservative media sources without seeing his name. Well, there's a good example of someone who, at this point, usually you have people who book these shows say, look, that dude's hot. We got to get on top of this because he's creating a stir, and we should talk about this because he's the guy that goes on CNN every night and he mixes it up. He hasn't been on Jimmy Fallon's show. He's been on Bill Maher's show, okay, which kind of fits that dynamic a little bit. But he should have been on other shows at this point, and if the politics were different, he absolutely would have been a little bit more here with O'Reilly.
So the FCC... And there's no denying that the Trump administration despises people who it deems have treated Donald Trump unfairly. There's no denying that. But the FCC says, hold it. Is this in the public interest where you have the three networks blacking out, excluding every voice that isn't non-liberal? That isn't a liberal voice.
That's a very, very good point, right? When it comes to community standards and what these licenses are supposed to afford you.
You can't plug a movie, a book, a recording. You can't have a dialogue. Now, I used to be on Kimmel and Letterman and Leno all the time because the ratings were so good and The View all the time. Mm. But that changed, and the corporations... They were fine with it. Disney led the league in it. So you're telling me that that's not an attack on freedom of speech? So these 400 movie stars, TV stars, oh, Jimmy Kimmel, oh, well, what about the blackout?
Well, there's that.
And I'm not a what about guy. I'm not. That's ridiculous. You gotta keep it into what you're talking about here. But there wasn't a word from the left, because the left benefited from this. And that was the biggest assault on freedom of speech I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Well, I think Bill makes a good point there. He'll expand on that point. He joins us around 5:04 this evening on 97.1 FM Talk. Going back to Jennings just a little bit, do you see the dust up with Keith Olbermann?
Yeah.
So this is pretty serious. So, like, Scott posted something that said, so basically, and he's talking about Kimmel, so basically his employer suspended him for being an insensitive, rhymes with wick, and we don't live in an authoritarian regime. Got it. So Keith Olbermann, who he used to be such a talented guy back in the day on ESPN. He was a wordsmith himself. He was a good writer. He was entertaining. He's become just a hack and a really, really spiteful and hateful person over the years. So he responds to Jennings and he says, "We won, you stupid pieces of blank. Last fall to fascism was last week. Now we get the fascists off real TV. That'd mean your career is next, Jennings. Send a tape to America's Voice." He also said, you know, he basically did this and he said, you're next. So there was a threat to basically say, you're next, MF-er, but keep mugging to the camera. So he threatened Jennings, you know, and then, of course, he apologizes. And when Jennings posts what Olbermann said to him, he does a CC to Cash Patel at the FBI. So Olbermann today goes on there, and it's, you know, who cares? But here's what he said. "I apologize without reservation to @ScottJenningsKentucky. Yesterday I wrote and immediately deleted two responses to him about Kimmel because they could be misinterpreted as a threat to anything besides his career. I immediately replaced them with one specifying what I actually meant." Okay, when he says, "You're next, MF-er, but keep mugging to the camera," that sounds like a threat, okay? It doesn't sound like they could be misinterpreted, but that's fascinating. All right, we're off and running here. Again, Sue is off until tomorrow. She'll be back. There's a real interesting case that the Secret Service has gotten involved in that thwarted this attack in the New York region that would have been a really major telecommunication attack. We're going to talk with George Rosenthal about that here in a couple of minutes. Melissa Price-Smith, who is, I don't want to say the brand new St. Louis County prosecutor, but relatively new because she took over for Wesley Bell. She was set to come in here that day of the assassination attempt, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and we had to reschedule her. So she's coming in this hour. Because Sue's off, we'll have Ethan's news. We got O'Reilly in the 5 o'clock hour. Lots still to come.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I would put this in the category of stories that should be covered a little bit more. And in fact, this morning, Fox was covering this quite a bit. The Secret Service says that it has dismantled a massive network of electronic devices in the New York City area that they believe were used to threaten officials, and this is the part where it gets a little freaky, was capable of cyber attacks that could knock out large sections of cellular communications. This is what the Secret Service said earlier.
Encrypted, anonymous, which means that it could theoretically text the entire nation in 12 minutes. So that's, you know, that's problematic. Not to mention all the other things, taking out cell towers, denying services, and criminal organizations and foreign governments using it to run their organizations.
I don't think that sounds very good. And by the way, they discovered communications equipment, including more than 300 servers and 100,000 SIM cards.
Definitely nation state, foreign governments communicating over that network to known criminals in the United States and known organized crime, known cartels and terrorist groups were using this network to run their communications anonymously and encrypted.
George Rosenthal is always one of our go-to experts on all this cybersecurity stuff. He's with ThrottleNet.com. George, this is crazy stuff. And again, I think it's a little undercovered considering the seriousness of the threats here.
Hi, by the way. This is so undercovered. They're calling it the largest, most sweeping communications threat ever uncovered. And it is. I mean, this is a complete clandestine cellular network operating throughout the entire New York City area on its own, piggybacking off of towers that took millions of dollars to build this system over five different sites. So this is not some run-of-the-mill deal. This is professional, real-deal stuff. But what's terrifying about this is that it's ready to go to take over, A, the entire communications system of New York City, B, have its own communications encrypted and private for the bad guys, all of which can be triggered instantaneously when a terrorist attack happens. So you have another major terrorist attack, and now you shut down all communications, 911, everything. You can complete, and then at the same time, you're allowing the bad guys to talk to each other without anyone knowing it.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is frightening. They say this is what the New York field office guy, Matt McCool, said. This network had the potential to disable cell phone towers and essentially shut down the cellular network in New York City. These are always kind of the things that we talk about in the background, George. You and I have talked about, you know, and I've been, I'll be honest with you, I've been a little shocked, knock on the microphone, that we have not had a bigger, not that we haven't had some, you know, major cybersecurity threats, but something along these lines. I mean, the good news here is they found this and they uncovered it.
Yes.
And that's good. The bad news is you can't tell me this is the only attempt at doing something like this.
You and I are thinking exactly the same, because that was exactly what I'm telling you. This, if you're telling me this isn't happening at all other major cities around the country,
right,
you're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. I mean, this is 100,000 SIM cards running at the same time, acting as if tens of thousands of cell phones. I mean, here you're talking about 30 million text messages a minute. There is no system that we have that can handle that. You're talking about denial of service of the entire communication system of our largest city. To wrap your head around that, and it was ready, the trigger is ready to be pulled any time. Luckily, they found this. But my goodness, I mean, this is it takes millions of dollars. I did some research on the amount of equipment that's out there and what it costs. It is millions and millions of dollars to build this. This is not, you know, Joe Schmo runs across the border and he's got a couple of guys. Like, this is a major deal. So God knows what's coming up or what kind of terrorist threats they've stopped. And thank God they have. But if that ever happens again and they can shut down the communications, you're doubling, if not tripling, the amount of chaos and death and problems that can happen from that. And we've got to start thinking like the criminals and start looking for this kind of stuff way before we stumble upon it. I mean, the reason we stumbled upon this was that some encrypted hidden phone calls were made to U.S. officials in the spring. So this has been being searched for since
April, May. Yeah. So
yes.
They say some of this stuff is nuts. They said the network had the ability to send 30 million anonymous text messages per minute. It could also carry out large-scale denial-of-service attacks that overwhelm a target with fake communications traffic, potentially interfering with the ability of emergency workers or police to respond to a scene. So, you know, I guess one question I would have is, you know, we know what happened after 9/11 and we saw these things that kind of fell through the cracks and we corrected and then we overcorrected, of course, with the Department of Homeland Security. That's another story altogether. But, you know, sitting back here in a radio studio in St. Louis, I'd like to think that the government has the ability to understand and be aware that these things could happen. So there are backup plans for communications, but something tells me there's not a lot of depth on the backup plans when something this potentially nefarious and harmful could happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think there are two main areas of our infrastructure that need immediate attention. Number one is the electrical grid. And now, obviously, number two is our communication system. Because if you can take out our largest city's communications in five different locations around the city, that is terrifying for everyone else. It should be terrifying for this entire country. That we start looking at the power grid and we take care of our communications. Because can you imagine in pure chaos, it was already bad enough at 9/11 when you had different agencies that couldn't talk to each other over radio frequencies. Right. You're talking about now shutting down all the data networks across all systems.
I hope that this would be something that's going to guard. Look, again, it was a hot story this morning. I know Jimmy Kimmel's back and there's Trump at the UN, but I hope this gets some attention to the point where there's, you know, congressional hearings and some questions are asked about, you know, not necessarily maybe this operation, but all the potential threats in an operation like this, because it deserves attention. George, you're always great. Thank you so much for joining on and jumping on here this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Thank you, you guys. Have a great rest of the day.
All right, take care. It is frightening, and we'll continue to, you know, give you information on that. The new St. Louis County Prosecutor, Melissa Price-Smith, is in the studio with me. Coming.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Up next. All right, we got one more day where Sue Thomas is off. Ethan will handle the chores of Sue's news in the next hour. Bill O'Reilly at 5:04, his take on some of the things happening, certainly with Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel back on the air tonight. And he might not have the ratings that I thought he would, because a lot of the Nexstar stations and Sinclair here in St. Louis, they will not air the show. They're doing something else. A couple of weeks ago, we had Melissa Price-Smith scheduled. It was actually the day of the Charlie Kirk assassination, so we had to juggle some things. She is the current St. Louis County Prosecutor. I've never met her in person until just now. She joins us in the studio. Melissa, how are you? Thanks for coming in.
I appreciate
it. I was telling you when we first met during the break that people have said, this is always suspicious to someone like me, that both R's and D's say very nice things about you. My roundtable panel on Friday, they've been very complimentary. You've been in the job how long now?
I have been at the St. Louis County Prosecutor's Office for 18 years.
That's amazing. You've been there. And you were just telling me you had an identical twin sister who was in the prosecuting office as well. That had to get a little confusing.
People got very confused. We're identical. She worked in the prosecutor's office 26 years. We were both initially hired by Bob McCullough and both also worked for Wesley Bell.
That's awesome. Well, I love Bob. I haven't seen him in a long time. So stepping into this role had to be something that was somewhat natural for you because of all the experience.
I think so. You know, I have been, like I said, been in the office 18 years. I started with low-level crimes, moved on to guns and drugs, robberies, burglaries, homicides. The last 10 years, I did primarily sexual assault.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that because that has, I had a friend who was a St. Louis police officer who, you know, specialized in that. And the horror that must present to someone like you investigating cases like that, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, it's a lot. But like I always say, I met some of the most incredible, bravest individuals ever. And that's the victims who came forward. It takes a lot of courage to come forward. But disclosure leads to healing. And once a victim comes forward, they are no longer anyone's victim. But I had never intended for this role. And last November, when we heard that Wesley Bell was going to Congress, I did what everybody else in the office did. I looked around to see who our next boss would be. But as we all sat around and talked about what we wanted a prosecutor. We didn't want a politician to be our boss. We wanted somebody who knew the ropes, who knew what worked in the office, what didn't work in the office. Someone who had had multiple trials and won, but also somebody who knew what it was like to sit with a victim after a loss. So when I say I stepped up and threw my hat in, it was with the support of my colleagues. So basically, I feel like we stepped up together.
Yeah, and it's encouraging from, I think, beyond my standpoint, for a lot of people listening, just because I don't know if you've noticed, we seem to have this national debate about crime and how we prosecute crime right now. And I like the fact, look, I've given Kara some credit on this as well. I know there was something at the St. Louis County Council last week, but instead of making the office about national issues, which really don't affect the people who are affected by crime in St. Louis, focus on the job at hand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I grew up in St. Louis County. I raised my kids in St. Louis County. I want them to want to stay in St. Louis. And the only way that's going to happen is if we have a safer St. Louis County. So we are trying to strengthen our relationship with law enforcement. I have reinstated a violent crime unit. We created a homicide unit. We have a sexual assault child abuse unit, domestic violence unit, treatment courts. We have made the office, done a lot of work to make the office more efficient. We've also done some really heavy recruiting. We have three amazing rock stars that we recruited from the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Oh, good.
Yeah, who worked in the office years ago that are a huge addition to the office.
So when you say you restarted a violent crime unit and a specialized homicide unit, it almost sounds like that should have existed in the first place.
Well, the violent crime unit, I was sworn in on January 3rd of 2025. At 10 a.m. was my swearing in. That afternoon, the violent crime unit was put into place. And basically what that means, it allows violent offenses to be reviewed by our office in real time. As soon as a police officer arrives there, the prosecutors in that unit will review it immediately, make a charging decision, look at the priors, determine if that individual is on probation, on parole. So then they can ask for an appropriate bond setting. One of the goals of this office is to keep violent offenders off the streets. And if we delay at all when their crimes occur, it allows them to commit more crimes.
Look, we're seeing examples of that on the national level, right? And it's just horrendous. And obviously, you know, it's a little weird to me that 2 weeks ago today, I was talking about this young woman, Arina Zaritska, and then 2 weeks ago tomorrow, her name was never mentioned again because of what happened with Charlie Kirk. But that was an awful, awful crime where someone was arrested 14 times. We saw it here in the city of St. Louis with Janae Edmondson losing her legs. But that's, you know, anybody, I have friends that are cops, you know this, they tell you, especially in the city, I'm sure this is true in many parts of the county, they're arresting the same guys a lot, right? Over and over.
Absolutely. A lot of our offenders are repeat offenders. And that's why it is so important to get these offenders off the streets as soon as the crime occurs. Because like you just said, so many of them have long histories, have priors. That's also why we created our homicide unit. We need a specialized team to be able to take the most serious cases and to really be able to give them a high level of attention and trial practice. We brought in two U.S. assistant U.S. attorneys to lead that team. And they are rock stars and they're mentors, and they're able to train our staff as they take on homicide cases.
Melissa Price-Smith is with us. She is the St. Louis County prosecutor. When you talk about how to better partner with law enforcement, what I think you just kind of explained some of that right there. But what else would be, you know, involved there?
You know, obviously law enforcement are our partners. And I am proud to say that I was I had the support of law enforcement in seeking this position. And that was not a political thing. It was based on my years of experience in the office. And when I say we're seeking to better our partnership, I feel that way about our, you know, improving our partnership with the community as well, meaning talking with them about our office, talking to them about our policies. And more importantly, whether it's with law enforcement or the community, we try to listen and say, what do you need from us? What can we do? Whether we're talking to a town hall in North County, whether we're talking to a group of police officers, what can we do to make St. Louis County safer? And that's what we are trying to do in every area.
Some of this, you know, to me over the years has been kind of a no-brainer. I know that you kind of made a statement from the beginning that if you commit a crime with a gun, there's no probation, right?
Yes. I have taken on a much stricter gun policy. Oftentimes, first-time offenders are granted probation. The new policy in our office, well, first of all, anybody can have a gun. If someone's walking down the street right outside your window right now, an adult with a gun, there's nothing police could do.
Right.
However, if that individual decides to point it at you, even if he doesn't shoot, it's called exhibiting. If that individual is a felon and they possess a firearm, they shoot into a house, they shoot into a car, even if they don't hit anyone, we are taking a stronger stance on gun crimes. We are no longer offering probation on first-time offenses. These are our trigger
pullers. Yeah, see, I think that's so important and reassuring for sure. So talk about this cold case a little bit. And I don't know if there's more cold cases. We all, as a society, have a fascination with this, which is why they're on Dateline in 48 hours. I know Chief Fitch pretty well. I know he's involved in this. I moved here in 1979. I don't remember this case from 1980. I lived in Baldwin at Clayton and Baxter. Not too far away from that in Ellisville is where this murder occurred that you're kind of digging into again, right?
Absolutely. I actually live right by there now. And Chief Fitch and the Ellisville Police Department are opening this cold case, this unsolved murder. It occurred in 1980. It was a horrific murder. She was working at that Dairy Queen right there, and it was unsolved. So as you know from talking to Chief Fitch, it is take a fresh set of eyes, and that always helps. There's also so much advancement in DNA analysis.
Oh yeah,
and
isn't it crazy?
Yes. There's also in cold cases when you relook at them, there's victims who maybe were afraid to come forward last time who will speak now. A fresh set of eyes, new advancements, possible witnesses. Some cases there might be additional evidence that was never found.
Yeah, yeah.
One of my goals is to have a victim-centered office. Always put the victim first. This is all victims, even those who are no longer with us. Just because a case wasn't solved, we are very aware that there are families out there who still suffer that loss every day. So if there's ever an opportunity for us to try to find justice again, we will always do that. And we are working very closely in partnership with Ellisville Police Department and Chief Fitch. In fact, one of the leaders of our homicide team, Jerry McDonald, he is our pinpoint person for cold cases. And once a case comes to him, he will assemble a team and get to work on it with law enforcement.
There's like three different streaming shows right now that deal with cold cases. Department Q is one of them, or a couple others, which is kind of fascinating. The DNA stuff is really interesting to me. I actually was in Columbia over the weekend, and I ran into, do you know Joe Mosley by any chance?
I do not.
Former Boone County prosecutor, went on to be a state senator, and then he kind of went into private life. But I used to cover a bunch of trials. And the one that I always talk about, and I brought this up with Joe because I had been referring to it, is there was a guy who had a wife that went missing in the Rochefort area. This is mid-80s, right? Wife was never found. Body was never found. Everybody kind of knew that this guy, Ralph Davis, did the crime. So somebody cracks open a lock at a storage facility in Jeff City. There's a car in there, and it's Ralph Davis's car, and there's brain matter on the steering wheel. They never find the body. It was the first case in the country where they convicted only on DNA evidence and no body, because that was so new at the time. But it was a fascinating, fascinating case.
That's incredibly fascinating. And it, like you just said, it's extremely rare to get a conviction without a body. I know that our office did that in the last couple of years in the DeJuan Ferguson case.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember that. But yeah, just thinking back to how this has all evolved with technology really is fascinating. Well, I'm glad that you're settling in. How many trials will you participate in directly as a lead prosecutor. Is that pretty minimum because you're kind of running the office, or how does that work?
Well, that has been a discussion we've been having a lot lately. I have been first chair on about 35 felony jury trials. When I was doing the sexual assault and child abuse case, I felt that that was my calling, that mm-hmm. I would always be doing that. I thought ultimately I would retire doing that. Trial work was what I was supposed to do. When I took this role 9 months ago, the first thing I said was, oh, I'm going to keep doing a lot of trials. I have since learned that there's a lot of other things that do limit that. Mm-hmm. I still do have a handful of cases, some of which are set for trial, but being everywhere because, you know, I want to be everywhere. I'm trying to be involved in everything in the office and everything in the community. I am learning very quickly that to handle a full caseload or even half a caseload is a lot tougher than I thought.
But I think what I heard you say earlier, that makes it even more important to make sure that some of the new prosecutors are getting as much experience as they can for you know, purposes down the road, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things, like I started talking about, we have recruited not only the two leaders of our homicide team from the U.S. Attorney's Office, we've also recruited our chief trial attorney from the U.S. Attorney's Office, all of whom had worked in our office in the past, but we recruited them to come back. And I can't tell you what a huge honor that is. We've also recruited three other people from a different office who've come to us. We've hired some great people. We are very focused on training and mentorship by bringing in experienced people and training some new, bright, young lawyers.
But doesn't
as well.
That have to be tough where lawyers looking at what they can make in a firm and, you know, they have to be committed to it, I guess. That's part of it. But, you know, you're up against some physical challenges there, too, aren't you?
Oh, 100%. If, you know, I actually spoke to a high school class today. I do that often. And one of the things I told them, I said, first of all, if you're looking to be rich, you don't become a prosecutor. To be a prosecutor, you have to have the heart to go into public service. And I am so proud of everybody I work with because it is such a group of people who are committed to doing the right thing, to finding justice, and to giving victims a voice. But you're never going to be rich in this job.
Well, same thing with radio. So we share that in common. Melissa, thank you for coming in. Melissa Price-Smith, who is the St. Louis County prosecutor. Always probably a good thing to have me on a show like this talking about you as little as possible. That tends to be a good rule. But I like what you're doing so far. And thanks so much for taking the time and rescheduling and coming in this afternoon.
Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
Appreciate it. Kamala is still doing her book tour. I wonder if she'll be on with any conservative hosts. She's out there, you know, with crocodile tears. Actually, she said she had actual real tears. Election night was very traumatic for her. And she recounted that with the panel on The View. She was on with Rachel Maddow last night.
We had never talked about election
night. It felt traumatic.
It was that traumatic. Mm-hmm. We had never talked about election night.
She's talking about her husband, that they had never really talked about what happened on election night because it was so traumatic.
That night, I grieved mm-hmm. in a way that I have not since my mother died. And it was not at all about losing a race. I knew what it was going to mean for the country. Uh-huh. I was going to say for the family. And that's how I felt, for the country.
We all grieved.
I knew what it was going to mean.
Yeah.
But I knew.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And all I could say over and over again is, my God, my God, my God.
Yeah, and she says that people, and I believe this, just because the people who have Trump derangement syndrome are so deeply affected by this, she says that people come up to her all the time and they cry about what happened last November.
We have things to talk about.
Wherever you go now.
Well, you know, a lot of people are coming up to me crying, actually.
Crying, yeah.
Yeah, so why did you, this is part of the, there's so many things in this book that are fascinating. Really not, but she has to try to explain them now, and I'm not even sure who the audience is for this book because it seems like it's so boring. But one question that really she was never pointedly asked during the campaign is, why did you keep your mouth shut about the guy who was drooling on himself? You knew what job he was doing. She still won't admit it.
I can only take responsibility for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And on reflection, you know, and I talk about it in the context of asking a question of myself, was that grace to not bring it up to him, or was it reckless? And on my part, I do reflect on that and feel that there was a recklessness about not raising it with him. I talk about what was going through my head, right? And what was going through my head to not bring it up was that it would come off as being very self-serving and therefore maybe lack the credibility that it deserved. But I do think about it. I do think about it. And I also say, though, and I speak extensively about this, my concern about him running for re-election was completely separate from my admiration mm-hmm. and knowledge about his capacity to serve as president of the United States.
So that was on, I think, that might have been on CNN, but she's on with Michael Strahan on ABC.
You think he would have been up for running the country for four more years?
Here's the distinction that I make. It's and having had the experience myself, it is one thing to have the capacity to govern. It is another thing to go through an election for president of the United States. So you are an athlete. You may appreciate this kind of metaphor. Running for president of the United States is like being in a marathon mm-hmm. at a sprinter's pace with people throwing tomatoes at you every step you take. It is not for the lighthearted. It takes an incredible amount of endurance and stamina. And can you imagine doing it while you are also carrying literally the weight of the world as being president of the United States?
Yeah, one guy did it in 2020. And the other guy, who's 79, did it last year, Kamala. I don't know if you noticed that.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
What we all miss the most is the food.
The Chinese food.
Any decent Chinese food or pizza.
New York City pizza.
I'm not driving 35 minutes for a decent slice of pizza, okay?
There's no pizza. There's no bagels.
The bagels.
Man, I miss some bacon, egg, and cheeses, man.
I have three Thai places on my block.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.